Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello and welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve in the Sunbury Motor Studio hanging out with us today as we go through Friday together. Got a lot of great stuff on the way, including Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. How are you, Mr. Jones?
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They helped me get through the Olympics, I can tell you that. Fresh hot roasted peanuts. Great wide array of snacks, domestics, and so forth. Kevin, welcome. Great to have you on board.
Great to be here. I have Mike Muscala on board as well, the newest member of the Atlanta Hawks.
I do see Mike's on the line, but we had to properly welcome you first. Mike understands protocol that Kevin is the straw that stirs the drink. So, Mike.
Right.
Mike, congratulations. What's this moment like for you?
Oh, thank you. It's been an interesting couple of days for sure. Coming from Spain, you know, just trying to get some sleep, most importantly, but it's been great. It's definitely a dream come true.
All right, let's talk about the European experience. What did you like about the European experience, and where did you grow?
Okay, so yeah, I went to a city called Santiago de Compostela in Spain. It's in the northwest part of Spain, kind of above Portugal. And it was a great experience. I learned a lot. The play, you know, the pace and the physicality were both heightened there, and I played with some great teammates who gave me a good experience. And yeah, overall, it was a great 5 to 6 months.
Now, the transition. How did this come about? We know you're a second-round pick of the Hawks. They have your rights, but how did it happen?
So my agent called me late last week, and mentioned that it was a possibility that they wanted to bring me over. But obviously, you know, we were still playing, and their season there doesn't get down until late May. And they kind of negotiated for several days, and with the Hawks have had a lot of front court players get injured this year, so finally a deal was agreed upon between both clubs, and I was on a flight the next morning.
An amazing transition, and now this happens. For you, getting in touch with family and so forth, and their ability to maybe see you, has that process started for you?
Not yet, but we play Phoenix on Sunday, and my dad and my best friends will be out there to watch, and my mom and stepdad will be at my first home game too. So, you know, they both came out to watch me in Spain, but obviously now being in the United States, it's much closer, much easier to watch the games, and also at the NBA level, you know, growing up, I think we play Minnesota where I'm from late March too, so it's just going to be a great experience, but I'm just trying not to think about it too much, just trying to stay focused on basketball and stay, you know, doing the right things for the team.
Have you been able to get a read on your new team, your NBA team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just had my first real practice with them this morning, and I've watched a lot of their film. With the coaching staff, but also when I was in Spain, I watched as many games as I could of theirs, and obviously watching film and doing it actually on the court in an in-game situation is much different, but they've been helping me with the transition, and yeah.
How difficult was the transition playing in Spain? Language, so forth, and what was the atmosphere like at the various venues?
It was a difficult transition. I had a great coaching staff there as well, and great teammates, but you know, some of the the rules were a little bit different in terms of the footwork, in terms of the traveling, in terms of the defensively and fouls. But, you know, we played once a week there, and so each game was, and, you know, each game is important at every level, but there it's heightened. It's like an NFL schedule almost, and, you know, we practice the entire week for that team. And at these venues, you know, there's still, like, the relegation rule in the ACB in that league in Spain, so the bottom two teams get relegated to the lower leagues. So, you know, it's a very competitive league, top to bottom, and each game was a challenge.
70% of second-round picks in the draft don't get to the show. You're there. How fortunate do you feel?
I feel really fortunate, yeah. It's tough to get that opportunity, and you know, I think it's even more difficult to stay in the NBA once you get that chance. So right now my focus is to continue working hard, and, you know, obviously I still haven't even played a game yet, so you know, I just want to keep working hard and keep proving as the season goes on that I belong.
I know for one of the things they looked at when they drafted you, that they said, look, you got to get stronger. So give me the workout regimen that you've had and what you've done in the weight room to get yourself to the point where you can develop, quote, the NBA body.
Yeah, I mean, my body type is not the prototypical, I guess, if you're looking for the NBA body type in terms of just a really, you know, jacked guy. So I think, you know, no matter how much I lift, I'm not going to have that type of body type. But with that being said, obviously, still need to get much stronger. And I think when I was in Spain, you know, obviously I was still on a lifting program, but playing against some of the players on my team in practice every day and the other teams who were very strong and physical players was a good experience for me. And obviously I'll get more of that now at this level. But I think I'm stronger than I look. And obviously it's still an area of focus for me, but I got to focus on the things that I do well too, and my quickness at my height.
Yeah, your quickness and also your great feel in the offensive game and your passing ability in the offensive game. Was the passing part of it valued in the Spanish league?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had some of the players I played with on my team were just phenomenal passers, and I think throughout the whole league, they were great passers. And you know, as a team, you know, 1 through 5, I think each team was very deadly with their passes, and so that was a good experience for me. You know, playing with those players, they always found me in the right spots, and a lot of times my job was just to finish. But I think, you know, now in this Hawks offense, it'll be a lot more pick and rolls with me and reading the defense and making more passes out of there.
And in your welcome to the life in the NBA, Mike, you get to go to Phoenix. Then right after that, you go to Portland up to the Rose Garden. Then you go to Oakland for Golden State. Then you go to the Staples Center for the Clippers. Then you go to Utah before you finally get a home game with the Bucks. Welcome to the NBA, yeah. Mike.
Yeah, I know. It's going to – I mean, yeah, I still have no idea what's in store for me, obviously. So I'm just trying to really, really just – I know it's kind of a cliche, but just take it one day at a time here.
And by the way, just so people know, in terms of television-wise, the game at Portland next Wednesday night at the Rose Garden, which is a 10:30 start, that game is on ESPN, by the way. That's part of their Game of the Week package. And maybe Mike gets in and plays a little bit there as well. When you talk to the coaches, what have they talked to you about?
They're just, in. For me, they're just, I think they're just trying to get me integrated as quick as possible with the offense and with their schemes defensively. You know, they're not trying to rush anything by any means, but trying to you know, get me ready because you know, as I said earlier, there's been a lot of injuries to the front court, and I know Elton Brand that on our team is playing a lot of minutes. He's been doing really well, but you know, I think I'm probably like 12, 14 years younger than him, so I try to go in there and be active, you know, and just run and do the things that a guy 22 years old can do, you know.
Brands might be closer to me in age than to you. Don't tell him I said that. Describe the phone call to your parents.
It was funny, actually. I told my dad first, and then when I called my mom and stepdad and sister, I had mentioned the whole situation to them, but they didn't pick up on the part that I was coming this year. You know, I had said that next year was a partially guaranteed contract and whatnot. And so at the end of the phone call, you know, they were excited, but at the end of the phone call, I said, okay, I got to go. I got to start getting packed. And my mom said, what do you mean you have to get packed? And I'm like, I'm leaving tomorrow. And then she said, oh, and she just, she was so happy, and it kind of all sank in. So it was a funny conversation.
Well, right now the Hawks find themselves in the number 8 spot. If the season ended today, they would make the playoffs. You get Indiana in the opening round, but they would make the playoffs. Now, we know the East has been, you know, and you've been overseas, but we know the East has struggled just a bit in terms of some of the records. But this is a push for them. Is that the sense that you're getting, that this is now their push, you know, with about 6 weeks to go in this thing, that they've still got a shot?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, you try to win every game. So I think, you know, I don't know about trying to make a push. I think that's always got to be your goal. I think you always got to try to go out and compete and win every game. So for me, I mean, I'm not trying to think about that too much. You know, I got the call to come back. So I'm just obviously trying to do whatever I can to make a spot for me and the team and for us to win.
Did you get a chance to call Dave Paulson?
No, we haven't spoke yet. I mean, he got in touch with me through Twitter because I was still in Spain. I had my phone set up, so we exchanged messages. But I finally got my phone reactivated the other day back in America, so I'm going to call him soon and catch up.
Was it all bus trips in Spain?
No, it was all flights.
Good.
You know, close. Yeah. Our closest game was probably like a 5-6 hour bus ride, so it was all flights, yeah.
Mike, everyone's proud of you, and in the NBA, they would tell you, welcome to the show. I know you're going to make a payoff. Best of luck to you. Thanks for the time you gave us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Mike Muscala of the Atlanta Hawks. You want to talk about getting off and rolling. 5 straight road games. He actually is joining the Hawks. They're going on a 5-game road trip before they return to Phillips Arena to finally get a home game with Milwaukee in the 6th game of this. But we're thrilled for Mike. Mike, an outstanding player. And what he did at Bucknell. And get him all the credit in the world. I mean, he has built himself to this point. He's in the show. After playing so close to Sochi for such a long time, it must be great to be back in America.
I was going to ask you about the jet lag and how long it was, but...
Jet lag?
Well, I was wondering how long the flight was coming back.
Yeah, I'm sure. Something tells me when you get an NBA spot...
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. That flight,
really does.
That flight doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a good point.
Flight means nada.
You're right.
It doesn't mean a thing at that particular stage. I'm thrilled for him. Mike deserved this. He earned it. Yeah. And it tells you the kind of player that's developed in the Patriot League right now with Mike and McCallum, and it's nice. Coming up next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And then open lines where you can ask Kevin Herr any question you want on any topic.
Plus, tickets to Sunday's Penn State basketball game coming up in the 4 o'clock hour as well.
Oh, did they win last night?
I heard somebody say something about it.
Good.
Postgame lasted forever, though.
Yeah, it was pretty quick last night. I don't know how long Dick went with Brian, but... rest of our parts were pretty fast. So, believe me, we want to get out of there, too. We're done. But really, the game played out almost exactly the way we said it, we thought it would. That would be the last 2 or 3 possessions, one way or the other.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
For the snow coming, stock up. And I'm telling you, to go to Brewers Outlet and stock up, you might as well go over there, get the snacks and the beverages and the brew that you need. The heck? How's it turn it into a party? Just a thought.
I stopped at the store today and picked up bread, milk, and eggs, so I'm stocked up too. Why do you need bread, milk, and eggs every time there's a snowstorm? That's all I want to know.
I don't eat eggs.
Well, then you don't have to worry about it, do you?
No, I don't.
And do the chickens lay more eggs if they know there's a snowstorm coming to keep up with demand?
No, but I think Brewers Outlet's fully stocked where you can go over there and get domestics and great selection of microbrews and the best selection of beer in the area without question. Snacks, unbelievable wide array, pickle bar, and of course, they have the fresh hot roasted peanuts. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. The storm that is rolling in here is going to roll in here Sunday into Monday, and it looks like we're going to get a foot.
That's the way it looks.
Yep. But they're not even, in fact, here in State College, I mean, they're not even on the basic AccuWeather forecast. I mean, the basic. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even give you, like, it started out 3 to 6 inches, then it went to 4 to 8.
Right.
Now it just says around a foot. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Literally, around a foot.
Well, and that's what AccuWeather told us this afternoon, too. They originally started at 6 to 12, and now they're hovering more toward the foot range, although they're still keeping the 6 to 12 in the forecast the way it looks.
That the base here on AccuWeather here says around a foot. Doesn't even give a number. Just foot. All right. One thing that you always enjoy is good Steeler talk.
Only good Steeler talk, though.
About your team.
That's right.
We discuss the pros and cons and so forth. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, rolls in for a Friday visit. Tony, welcome. It is great to have you on board with us again here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Always good to join you guys.
All right, Tony. Let's start with the Steelers. We're at that time of the year. Combine's done. Free agents are now a possibility. Who should be nervous?
Well, you know, I think if you're a defensive back for the Steelers, you probably should be nervous. I think they're trying to fill some holes there. I think that if your name is Lamar Woodley, you should be pretty nervous. Woodley maybe more so than anybody. It's just going to be very difficult for Pittsburgh to bring Woodley back. He's not a free agent, but it's going to be difficult to bring him back with his performance, with his salary, with his injury history. He's a guy who you have to think is on his way out the door, even though the Steelers said they're interested in trying to find a way to bring him back. I think that's the important thing. You know, they're not trying to find a way to bring back Le'Veon Bell or Ben Roethlisberger. That path is pretty clear. So when they have to find a way to bring you back, that says that there's certainly some work to be done. You know, I think Ryan Clark is a free agent. I think he's probably on his way out the door. You know, Louis Delmas is a safety for the Detroit Lions who visited Pittsburgh already. He's a guy who probably is a similar type of a player to Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark didn't even really impress anybody when he joined the Steelers as a free agent several years ago out of Washington. When he came over from the Redskins, yet he fit it perfectly into Dick LeBeau's system. So I think maybe they're thinking that Delmas can be that kind of a player. The other guy I guess I would throw into that same category would be Ike Taylor, who is a decent chance Ike Taylor comes back, but it's not going to be, again, under the terms of his current contract, which would pay him upwards of $10 million next year. His performance simply dictates that the only way he's a Steeler next year is with a new contract.
Where are the Steelers? What neighborhood are they in right now in the cap?
Right now they're over, but I think it should be relatively easy for them to get where they want to get. The last number I heard was around 8 or 9 million, so I think some of these moves should be able to create some space for them. I think that Kevin Colbert has a very good idea of exactly what he wants to do. When he spoke to the media last week, he talked about making some moves in free agency, not that that was a possibility, that was going to happen. So I think they have their numbers are probably set. You know, I talked about a restructured contract for Ike Taylor. I think that probably exists. And, you know, he either accepts it or he doesn't. So I think that the Steelers have the numbers that they want. It's just a matter of whether some of these veterans agree to those numbers or not.
One thing that really bailed out the Chicago Bears for a period of time last year is that when Jay Cutler got hurt, they had Josh McCown, and it seems that even though he's a free agent, that there are all indications that he might re-sign with Chicago. Steelers, of course, have gone this route before between Charlie Batch and a Byron Leftwich and so forth. Is there any thought that the Steelers down the road here might think about a veteran backup quarterback instead of the younger guys?
You know, I thought that that might be a possibility until Kevin Colbert talked last week. There's a huge cap relief coming for Pittsburgh in the 2015 season.
Right.
They go from being slightly over right now to being way under, and I think they're going to sign. You know, all indications are they're committed to signing Ben Roethlisberger to another deal. How long that deal is, you know, I think is probably going to dictate what happens. You know, with the backup job, would they be happy to go with Bruce Gradkowski again? Well, if Ben Roethlisberger takes every snap again like he did this season, then yeah, Gradkowski's a great backup quarterback. Landry Jones doesn't hurt you as a third guy. But that's the only time that that's happened in the past several years where Roethlisberger has taken every snap. You know, even if he's protected, the way he plays and just the fact that it's the NFL and his age, really stands to reason he's going to miss some time. So, you know, that backup position is going to be very important. I think they like Gradkowski. And I think it's just a matter of what kind of a fit you have. I think there's, you know, that level of veteran where Batch was, where you know you can still play, but you also understand that you're no longer a starter. It's difficult for guys to get to that point. If they can find a guy who's reached that point, I think that might be a great addition. I'm not starting any rumors here, but I mean, just as an example, has Michael Vick reached that point, or does he still think right. he can start? You know, players like that.
Interesting. The Penguins lost to Montreal in the shootout 6-5 last night, but they have the Soldier Field game coming up tomorrow night, I believe, is the matchup with the Blackhawks.
Yes, tomorrow, 8 p.m.
Just the anticipation of that. To play the Blackhawks, because it's something that didn't happen at all last year, and then second of all, to play as part of the outdoor series.
Yeah, I think it jazzes those guys up, no question about it. I mean, hockey players are a bit of a different breed than the rest of the players across the rest of the, you know, four major pro sports. Those guys are, you know, thrilled to play in the Olympics. You know, whenever there's a lockout or a strike, the first thing they do is pick up the phone and scramble to find a place to play. They love playing, and I think this is another one of those energetic and exciting type atmospheres. It's going to be awfully cold. But again, that's no skin off of these guys' backs. And I think there's no question. It's probably a great way to start we're well past the halfway point, but this is a stretch run now, so I guess it's a great way to kickstart the stretch run. The team was a little bit rusty last night. I think Montreal probably was too. It wasn't the most well played game. It wasn't the most well officiated game. I think the officials were rusty as well. I don't think there should be any rust issues. I think those have been knocked off, and it'll probably be pumped up a little bit, on Saturday night.
In order to play in 2018, what would the players want?
That's a great question, and I don't know if I know the answer to that. I honestly don't. I think they gave a little bit last time. You know, we talked about them being a bit of a different breed than other professional athletes, mm-hmm. and I think the league knows that and took advantage of that. It got to the point that the players wanted to get back on the ice, and so they gave a little bit. To be honest with you, I don't even want to wade into that because I really truly don't know.
Good. Okay.
You know, I don't think the Olympics are going to be that. Everyone talks about the need to play in the Olympics. I don't see that as being any kind of make or break deal. I think there might be some disappointment, but that's really about it. I can't see that being the major or a major part of the negotiations. But I think they may just push for a little bit more than they got last time, a little bit more of that revenue.
I think there was a point where it was really great for the NHL to play in the Olympics as a promotional thing. I think the time for that's come and gone.
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially when you factor in the idea that, you know, when it was in Vancouver 4 years ago, that was great.
Sure.
Russia, same thing. We're talking about South Korea now. I think it is a little bit different.
Right. Pirates, I talked to Tim Nevert for a period of time 2 days ago about camp. Camp's off to a good start. But the most news out of the Pirate camp in their two exhibition games was about Derek Jeter.
Right.
And not about them. Just the makeup of the club. What do you think of the makeup of the club in spring training?
Well, you know, I think the biggest issue is, and I think it's going to be a major one, is that there is a, in my opinion, a gaping hole at first base. Mm-hmm. You might talk about a hole in the pitch, you know, in the starting rotation, or a hole in right field, but I categorize those differently. They're waiting on their own prospects in right field. They're waiting on Jameson Taillon and a couple of other pitchers. Gregory Polanco, by all indications, is going to is on track to join the club in June, as is Taillon as a pitcher. So those are different, but I think that the hole at first base is a big one, and a big one that could hurt them in what should be a very competitive National League Central. I think the Cardinals are at the top of that division again, but I think it's a very, very close and a very fine line between teams like the Pirates, the Reds, and the Brewers. I'll leave the Cubs out of the conversation for now, but I think that kind of a hole can really hurt them. Other than that, though, Steve, I like the makeup of this team. I think they learned a heck of a lot last year. They know how to compete. They know what they need to do to win. And I think the fact that they bounced back from a collapse a year prior and were able to sort of steer through that in spite of a bunch of injuries. Marte was hurt, really was hurt, yet they marched on through those injuries and, you know, rallied. They know what the postseason's like. I think Pirate fans have every reason to be excited.
Tony, it's always a pleasure. I hope you have a great weekend.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Steve.
That's Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Steve is chatting with him. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more on the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Steve is in the Sunbury Motor Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Hi, I'm William Payne, music director and conductor of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale. Are you familiar with the Gregorian chants of Medieval Monk?
Mike Muscala, by the way, signing with the Atlanta Hawks. He's practiced with them today. They head out on a five-game road trip, and the first game of that five-game trip is on Sunday. They won't get back to Atlanta until about 10 days, I think. And then they'll play Milwaukee at Phillips Arena. But Mike Muscala's in the NBA. Also, former Nittany Lion and Iowa State player Chris Babb. He played his first 2 years here at Penn State, was part of the NIT championship team, then transferred to Iowa State, where he made the NCAAs with them. He ended up in the D-League with Maine. Well, Chris Babb today signed a 10-day contract with the Boston Celtics. So he's in the NBA as well.
And just got word through CBS, although the details are not released yet, but they're reporting CBS Sports that Jeremy Maclin signed a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles today.
Well, it's good on both sides, and it's a one-year deal. Maclin needs to prove himself after getting hurt.
And that was the big thing for the Eagles, I think, in the stumbling block right now.
Well, I also think it prevented him from going someplace else. I think a lot of people concerned as to, you know, when you come back from an injury like that.
Although I did read some reports, though, that the Eagles were interested in getting him to a longer-term deal than just 1 year, too.
Yeah, well, it's going to benefit both sides. I mean, I think he gets a one-year deal, and he, you know, for him, it's actually good. He gets to show what he's got and then go from there. So, I mean, that will be a plus. We're going to get a foot of snow.
Is it just sinking in or what? We just talked about that. Is it just finally sinking into you there?
No, I think it's just good to tell the populace that so that they know. I mean, you know, we do the show your way, it'll be a secret.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be, keep people informed at all.
Who, you? No, you keep calling for personal reasons. Dennis Pitt is going to sign a $32 million deal with the Baltimore Ravens as well. New Mexico State suspending one of their players after fighting with a fan after the Utah Valley State game at Utah Valley State. You will see tonight a long series of Tiger Woods highlights on SportsCenter. Rory McIlroy is the leader at 11 under par.
Yeah, why? Why are we still? I mean, this. I argued this point yesterday. Why do we have to know the ins and outs of a 71 that Tiger Woods shot instead of focusing on who was actually in the lead?
Because he draws ratings and the other people don't.
Oh, breaking news. The Phillies have beaten the Tigers and they have a win in the spring. This is exciting.
You're just a guy that's consumed with a lot of hate.
That's all I can tell you. I'm just happy that, you know, the goose egg's out of the W column.
Well, they had an 8-run third inning today. That's why. Just so you know. Okay.
And the early pitching has not been impressive from the Phillies. But it's early. I understand. It's early.
The Oakland Raiders are threatening that if they don't get the right deal in Oakland, they're going to move. They had talked about the possibility of moving. Let's see, I'm trying to think. They had talked about sharing Levi's Stadium with the Niners. They decided not to do that. They say they're comfortable with that. There's a shore project they want to do in Oakland, which would revamp the Coliseum area and so forth, including the arena. That is on the table but not passed yet. If they don't get that, they say they will consider moving but do not know whether or not they're going to get this done. As for the A's want to move to San Jose. The Giants, based on an agreement that was done years ago, San Jose is part of the Giants' market. So the Giants have said no to them moving to San Jose. They block it. They have territorial rights. But the Giants have also said that if they can come up with another ballpark in Oakland and they're going to build it, the Giants will let them use AT&T Park while it's being built. So, how about that for a bizarre turn? We won't let you go to San Jose, but we will let you stay over in Oakland.
Really?
What's the difference? San Jose is about 30, 40 miles south of San Francisco. In fact, San Jose is closer to where the Niners are going to play in Santa Clara, and that's Santa Clara is right next to San Jose. They border each other. Crazy. We have territorial rights. know anybody wanted to claim San Jose. Now everybody wants it.
I didn't know it was that popular.
Yeah, well.
Home of the Sharks.
I've done two basketball games in that arena. It's a gorgeous arena. It's a little older now, but it's a gorgeous arena.
Great logo.
Oh, the Shark logo? The Shark logo, to their credit, is one of the best going. Really nice.
Only second to the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
No, the Whalers was better.
I don't remember the Whalers logo. I may have to look that up.
Whale tail coming up, forming then a W on the outside. And when you look at it, it really forms an H in the middle. Whoever came up with that was brilliant. Unfortunately, they couldn't get the same person to come up with a new arena and a governor that actually had guts.
But that's a different subject.
Oh, Lowell Weicker? I'm never going to raise taxes. Put in a 4.6% income tax. I guess we're all supposed to have forgotten that. But we don't live in Connecticut. That's their problem.